I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Well, this is the season of summer, warm weather. COVID continues. The world is trying to pull out of this nosedive we've been in. There's a lot of good things going on. There's a lot of crazy things going on in our country. And I think we need to take a little bit deeper look at some of them. You know, for those who join me here every weekday at 3 p.m. on Chasing Justice, one of the things I like to do is I like to not just look at something on face value, but I like to see what are the causes and the reasons for something. You know, just because somebody says something doesn't mean that it actually is whatever it is that they say. So I like to look deeper and see what's going on. One of the things that I do when I teach, and I teach in lots of different types of arenas, when I teach, one of my main points is to tell people, if you just look at something from your own perspective, from the way you see the world or the incident or whatever, you're going to miss out on a lot. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not correct. It just means you might not be correct completely or 100%. You have to look at something from different perspectives to try and get a complete understanding of what it is that you're looking at so you can actually have a valuable opinion, whether it's for a conversation or for something more than that. Like when we make big decisions in our life, right? Don't you want to have more information? Right now, the big push is on to, in the middle of all this COVID, they're saying a lot of people are refinancing their house, okay? Well, that's a good thing if you can refinance to a lower interest rate. Is it as easy as the commercials make it out to? Push one button and you change your whole life. Well, it's really not that easy. It seems like it until you get in the middle of the process, right? So you have to understand the whole process so you can plan and you can have all the documents ready and be ready for the ups and downs of whatever it is. So I look at our country and I see, you know, our independence as a nation is something we celebrate every year. You know, it is a red, white, and blue festival for all of Americans. But currently, we see with a lot of the chaos and a lot of the trouble that is going on in our country, there are lots of people saying, you know what, America really is not good. The drumbeat is building by people who are determined to change our country completely, to reform how we began. Literally, you would think that it was a matter of changing a few things so we make the world better, right? So that everybody gets along better, feels better about everything, is treated better, you know, in cases where people need to be treated better. We should do that, of course, right? Of course. Well, that has morphed into now not just change some things that are problematic, but change the entire country because it is so bad that its founding was so bad, was based on so many bad things. We just have to do away with it and start over. Now, the danger of that is obvious. America is such a unique place. It is such a exceptional nation of all nations on earth that have ever existed. I can see that clearly. Now, does that mean that there are not people in our country who maybe do not feel they have benefited completely from the American dream or from what America has to offer? It would be easy to dismiss those people and say, no, you know what? Everyone can go to school and get educated and get a job or create a business and have a great life. Everyone can do that. And for the most part, the opportunity is there. And I'm not an opportunity or outcome kind of person. I don't look at it and say, well, the outcome is what we have to work for. No, we have to work for the opportunity because every one of us has an opportunity to be better, to be greater, to do more. If we start saying we have to guarantee outcomes, that changes who we are as a people. So I understand where people would say, sure, it benefits you, but I haven't benefited from this country because of these 9 things that are against me. Now, as a person who I've struggled, and I've told you about my struggles, I started from nothing. My father passed away early in life. It was me, my mom, and my brother. I went to work at 14. You know, the whole routine. I've told everyone this story before, but I worked hard. I felt, you know, my father taught me a lesson. He started his own business. He left the union job and he started his own business, and we struggled, and then the business took off. And life was financially much better for us. Unfortunately, then the man passed away at 37 years old. He died. And of course, that left my mom and my brother and I with a very small insurance policy and nothing else. So we had to fight our way up. And it was not easy. You know, it was not easy to do. We didn't have those resources. We didn't have connections. We weren't those people. We were not elites. But by continuing to work hard and to always see a sunrise ahead of me, I managed to make a very good life for me and for my family. Doesn't mean it was easy. It was not easy. It was hard. It's still not what I would have hoped I could have achieved. But when you have to overcome things, sometimes you have to accept what comes with it, and you're not going to get to the top of the hill. But you might get three quarters of the way up. So that led me to start thinking about people who say they can't even walk up the hill. It's totally against them. That I disagree with, because I know lots of people who were in my situation or worse who have achieved much greater things than I ever have. And that they did it through tenacity, through hard work, through moving ahead, overcoming obstacles. So you see how you start to peel this onion and you say, there's more layers to all of this. And that's really what I want us to think about here, because justice, which is, you know, we chase justice here in all of its different forms. Justice means that that opportunity for everyone has to be available as well. So it's easy to, like I said, to dismiss people that say everything is against them and therefore they can't do it. And I disagree with that, but I am going to say that there probably are some obstacles that are very hard for people to overcome. You know, I know a lot of people, again, who were in my situation who simply did not overcome them. Now, you can come up with lots of reasons. They didn't work as hard as you, Lieutenant Joe. They didn't try as hard as you did. Maybe. And there's a lot of truth to that. See, that's the individual part. There's no guaranteed outcome, like many of our friends on the left want. They want a guaranteed outcome. But you can't have that, because then you don't have what we have. So I did see a lot of people who did not achieve, that started from the same place I did, and they did not achieve because they didn't sacrifice enough, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they didn't try hard enough. Maybe they didn't have good enough ideas. Maybe they didn't have good enough skill sets. I don't know why they didn't achieve when I did, coming from a very humble background. But I know that it is possible because I did it. And I've seen lots of other people, like I said, not only do what I did, but do 10 times more than what I did. So I know that it's possible. And that's what keeps me going. It keeps me pushing right through my entire life here, that I always want something better and more. And I just have to work for it. Doesn't mean that's easy. You know, you have to reinvent yourself. You have to work harder. You have to get more education. You have to try new things if you want to get ahead. And that's part of what's lacking, I think, in our society now, is we don't teach that anymore. So I'm looking at all of this and I'm saying, at this summertime season and this time of celebration of America, and we find our family, our American family, to be wounded right now, where there's a lot of people that are hurting. And I am not going to excuse rioting. I am not going to excuse burning buildings down because people are upset. You can't excuse that kind of violence because, you know, lots of people are upset. Lots of people are angry about things, and it's not appropriate to go out and burn and riot and those kind of things. Protest? Absolutely. Protest is absolutely a reasonable thing to do when you're upset and you want change. That's how you make change, by letting people hear your voice, and then you have to turn their hearts. And I think that's happening. I think we have a moment in time. Remember I talked about this program my friend George Corbin and I are starting? It's called This Moment in Time. There comes a moment in time when all the stars line up. And now maybe people can see, because of the George Floyd situation, there was no one who could look at that and say, okay, that was okay. That was, oh, that's part of doing business. That's how, you know, he shouldn't have done whatever. That, none of that is correct. We all can see that. That's this moment in time. We see very clearly that that was a problem. Now we can say, okay, let's open up our eyes a little further and see, is there anything else going on that people see from a perspective that we don't, and how can we address that? So this whole idea of bringing us together, how are we going to do that? How are we going to heal as a nation and go forward? This has been my thought process recently, because I'm saying there's a lot pulling us apart right now, and it's been pulling hard for a while. You know, President Trump, his election rattled our country to its core because it revealed lots of different things about us as people and how we see the world and what we think we should be doing. It also revealed what I believe was an undercurrent that was starting to build, this move towards socialism. You know, where did this move towards socialism come from? And how is it that, first of all, so many of our young people believe it really is legitimate and it's somewhere we should go? And we're seeing now our friends on the left, our Democratic Party people, they are all pushing. All's not a good word, sorry. It seems the majority of them are pushing towards socialism as an answer to some of the problems we have, instead of looking at our base, our foundation of how America can fix these problems, our traditional individualism and our sense of community and our sense of God in our work and what we should do as a people. They're getting away from that, and they're looking at other answers. And again, another layer of the onion here. Where did that start? You know, Donald Trump gets elected, and we saw hysterics every single day since. We've seen a change in our tone and demeanor that they blame on him, when really it is the people who are responding to him. You know, the tolerant people who are supposed to be tolerant about everything, they're not tolerant at all. You know, we see how people react to, you know, Trump supporters, you're a bunch of deplorables, attacking half the country. Joe Biden saying, you know, there's a full third of the country that are just not good people. You know, to throw out the American people like that, does that bring us together? And that's where this idea started to come together to my head. Because we hear our politicians, and I don't say leaders, because many of them are not. They're elected politicians, and they're doing what's good for them, not really what's good for the country. We hear them say, I'll bring us together. My policies will bring the nation together. I'm going to solve this problem. We're all going to come together as one big family. And then, in the very next breath, when they start to describe how they're going to do that, they totally disregard half the country and what they believe in. As you know, we're going to go right past that nonsense, that right-wing hatred stuff. We're getting past all that. As though there's this right-wing hatred. As though it's a fact. So therefore, half the country can be ignored or overrun because you're the deplorables, you're evil, and you should have no say in the way things go. Does that bring us together? Now, I know that people on the right have very strong opinions, but most of them are about freedom and liberty and justice and do the right thing and take care of your family and you work hard. All those kind of things. Small government, get the government out of the way. Promote God to those who wish to engage in a relationship with God. Promote that. That's a good thing for society. So we see, as we look back on these things, this push for socialism. Now they blame, a lot of blame goes on the teachers, right? I was in schools. I work with teachers all the time. And I don't see the overwhelming attack by teachers against our country. I just don't see it. I know people want to blame that on a lot of teachers. Well, that's where it starts. It starts in a school. Those are two separate issues. The individual teachers that are anti-American, are pro-socialist, they're out there. We see them. We see these college professors. We see individual teachers telling kids certain things about how their parents should vote. It's real. There is real commentary like that out there. It is not the overwhelming majority of teachers that do that, though. You know, those are some that do it. And should they do it? No. Nor should they stand up and say the other side is correct, other than our traditional values. Liberty, justice, freedom, our country, God, Constitution, those kind of things. That's what we were founded on. Those are okay to talk about. Changing them and ridiculing those things is not appropriate. So for teachers that do that, if you have teachers, now I know I've had, you know, my kids, I have four kids go through school and they would come home and say, you know, my teacher said today about Ronald Reagan that he's really a bad guy, that he hates people and he wants to start wars. And I never saw Ronald Reagan that way. I saw him as a guy who loved his country and wanted his country to be great and did everything he could to make it great. And he succeeded. Everyone had a better time of life when Reagan was president because he raised the water and all the boats, you know, floated higher. Does that mean that everyone did? No, it doesn't. And that's where the change that I could see coming is, okay, we're in another one of those moments. I mean, until COVID-19, the economy was roaring. More people were working than ever. Things were getting better. Our nation was stronger. But we're so divided that it's making it difficult to go past a certain point of success because half of the people in our country don't want to travel that road. They want to travel a different road. All right, so I know I'm going in lots of different directions here, but I'm just throwing these things out, kind of a stream of consciousness as they're coming to me. What brings us together? Does these politicians bring us together? When they come out and say, oh, I'm going to bring us all together, what does that really mean, bring us together? In reality, it means if everybody believes what I believe, then we'll all come together. What happens in our country when you have somebody says, I want to bring us together and abortion on demand right up to the birth of the baby is okay? And half the country says, no, that's not okay. What about our point of view? How come our point of view is not in that conversation? How about when they say, we're going to tear down that border wall and have an open border. Anybody could come here and come to America. And that's what we should do because that's not the racist thing. That's the good thing. And then half the country says, hang on. We're not racist because we want to have a border wall. We need to protect our country. There's drugs coming in. There are people coming in that are dangerous to our country. Not all of them. We've talked about that. Lots of people come here because they want a better life. I get it. But we can't take care of the whole world just because they want to come here. There has to be a rule of law. There has to be a process to come here. We can't just have everybody come here because it's better than where they are. That's not practical. That's not racist. It's not practical is what it is. So can we address these things? What about the half of the country says, yes, we want the border wall. The other half says no. Well, if I'm in charge, I'm ripping that border wall down. How are you bringing me together? How are you bringing those two sides together when you're completely ignoring what one side believes? When one side says we should stay with traditional America and freedom and our liberty and justice and our Constitution, and the other side says the Constitution is a problem. The Constitution allows for this. The Constitution doesn't allow people to, like Barack Obama, when he said the Constitution was a bunch of negative rights. It says what the government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the government can do for you. That is a completely different way of looking at human existence. What about the people who don't believe that? How are you going to bring us together? So these are the things we need to talk about. We need to think about this. I'm going to get my thoughts together here. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back in a minute with round two here on Chasing Justice.
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Come inside, come inside. Okay, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer there. So this show never ends. You know, this goes on and on and on, Chasing Justice. It's a constant conversation that I hope we're all having, you know, chasing justice. And this show is my opportunity to speak to you and for me to have a voice, which I am very appreciative of all of you out there who are listening. I really love hearing from you. I love to see the comments on Twitter. I hope that sometimes if I say something, it helps you to have a thought, you know, your own thought. You think about it, you tear an idea apart. That's great. And I like to hear from you too. So you can find me on Twitter at Pangaro Global, at Pangaro Global. So hop on there and send me a little tweet. Say hi. If you could do a follow, that would be good. You know why? I thought it was shadow banning, but I don't think it's that. They're just slowly but surely removing people who follow the show and follow me because I don't think they like my point of view. I'm just guessing, but I find it interesting that every day, four or five of you will jump on and follow. And I say, oh, thank you. I follow back. That's really great. But every day I'm losing two. The number doesn't include you. You're not added on. But two more disappear every single day. It's been going on for a couple months now. And I see other people talking about it as well. So there's a movement out there to silence conservative voices. And it's very quiet. It's in the background. Sometimes it's loud. But sometimes it's just in the background. So I'm pointing that. How does that bring us together? See, let's stay with our theme here. How does that bring us together to shut down voices that certain people don't like because they have the power to do it? Right? That's our talk, our conversation about free speech. Free speech is the linchpin of freedom. Without it, you have nothing else. You cannot maintain freedom and liberty for a nation if free speech is squelched and shut down and closed off because it doesn't work that way. You have to have an ability to speak and make points. And if you don't like what someone's saying, you don't have to listen. But we don't shut them down because we don't like what they say. Listen to what they say. Take it apart. Is there anything good in there? Is it bad? We can identify that too. Wouldn't it be good to know what people are thinking, that if they're contemplating bad things, you hear what they're saying and then you can deal with it as opposed to it just being silent? Because that's what happens. That's what happens in the background when you shut people down. There's an underground world of things that go on. The anger, the frustration starts to build. And this goes to my point. There's a lot of people in our country who believe that they've been shut down. They believe it. Whether it's true or not is a matter of perspective. And I'll tell you how this came to me. The other day, it was a beautiful, sunshiny day. And I was standing out on my deck, and I was just listening to the birds chirping and watching the squirrels run around, you know, and I'm looking, I have an above-ground pool. I don't have a built-in pool. I have an above-ground pool, but I got a nice deck, nice yard. It's fun. I like my yard. We like to hang out there. And I'm looking around, and there's all my neighbors' yards, and I see people cutting their grass and trimming bushes and all. It was really good. And I said, there's the American dream right there. You know, people are around their house, they're enjoying the weekend, they're taking a day off, they're with their families. I hear some people down the corner laughing, you know, they got some kids splashing around in the pool. I see people, like I said, taking care of the yards, having conversations. You wave at each other, but the weather was nice, everybody was feeling good, it's summertime. It felt great. In the midst of all this chaos and pain and aggravation that's going on, it was a moment where it really felt great. And I looked around, and I'm telling you, I looked at the houses, and I was like, you know, what an awesome thing for everybody to have a home and a place that they can take care of and a backyard they can enjoy. And how great is that? And then it came to me. I have a friend of mine who is one of the guys I was talking about earlier who took a different road as we were growing up. And unfortunate for him, he never had a real career. He never had a real income generating skills to develop. He just kind of partied. He went along and, you know, lived the fun life the whole time. And unfortunately, you grow out of that. You know, your opportunities get smaller and smaller as you get older if you don't have a foundation. And for my friend, he now has a very difficult financial life. And I said, well, for him, the opportunity to have one of these houses here is probably out of reach for him. He doesn't have the income to support it. He doesn't have the skills to get a job to support it. So when I sit here and I look at all these houses and I say, boy, look at the American dream. This is really great. From my perspective, it is because I managed to work the opportunity into my backyard. You know, my friend who I know, who's a very good and decent man, will work hard as can be. just made different choices in life, doesn't really have those opportunities. So for him, he's very frustrated about the American dream, that it costs so much to have a house, that he has to live in an apartment his whole life. He has to have roommates his whole life. He doesn't get to have other things. Okay, so when we look at that, I think the answer lies right in what I said. He made different choices in life, choices that at the time he thought were beneficial to him. He thought were great for him. He looked at me getting married and have a family, becoming a police officer. He saw that as a burden. Man, you have to take care of all those people. You're a cop. You have to go to, we have to live a certain lifestyle. You know, you can't be doing this and that. Look at me. I'm free. I'm doing this. I'm going everywhere. Well, he made those choices, and choices have consequences. So the system didn't hurt him. He made choices that led him to where he is now. And I think that was a moment that I saw. Yes, people certainly can believe that they're kept out of the system, but it's usually because of choices that they make. Most times, not every time. So what brings us together? Does that reality that I had there, that I saw that maybe from his perspective, he cannot participate? Do a lot of Americans maybe feel like they cannot participate in the system because they didn't get to go to college, because they didn't live in a neighborhood where there were backyards and people waving at each other? Did they have a childhood that was filled with violence? Did they have a childhood that was filled with drug abuse and crime? Did they live in an area where crime was the natural way things were going? You had to worry about yourself constantly getting hurt. Gangs, if you don't join a gang, you don't have protection, you could be injured. You know, coming from that kind of a background, would that make the American dream harder to obtain? It would. Of course it would. And that's what a perspective I'm looking at, and I'm saying, okay, so when somebody says America is not good, they're looking at it from their perspective that their world is not really great. It's not my world. Now, what can we do about that? Here's where we come to a problem. Because what can we do about it? Whose responsibility, number one, is it to do something about it? Well, the answer there is twofold. One, the individual has to make the choices to make their life better, no matter who they are, no matter where they are, no matter what neighborhood they live in, just like I had to. You have to make certain choices so that your life can be better. That takes sacrifice. You know, my buddy didn't want to give up the party lifestyle and running around with, whole bunch of different people and moving all over the country and just having a blast. He did that his whole life. Then he gets into his 40s and 50s, and now he doesn't really have anything. That party life kind of slows down. You know, that whole running around thing kind of slows down after a while when you get to a certain age. It's not the same thing as it was when you're in your 20s and, your 30s and having a good time. So he made choices. Lots of people make choices that are bad. So the opportunity is always here for us. We hear all the time about people that come from a very, very difficult background, and they rise up to be a CEO of a company, or they become an attorney, or they become something great in life. And you say, how did that person do it, but nobody else in that person's area did it? They made choices. Everything is about choices. Do we teach that as choices? You know, I was saying before that teachers get a blame for the drift of socialism. I don't think that's it. There is some of that in there. We know that, a lot of the curricula is from the left-wing point of view. It is. You can't deny that when they look at things and the way they describe things. You know, there's in a history book, there's one page about Abraham Lincoln and 22 pages about Bill Clinton, right? As though Bill Clinton was the best and the be-all of what American presidents should be. He did things that he did were good. He also had a lot of things that were negative, that were not the best. He wasn't an Abraham Lincoln, I'll tell you that, right? But he's portrayed as that. Now, that's the truth. There is that out there. But I don't think it's the teachers, like I said. The problem we have is that the choices that people make are ones that they make for reasons that are other than the traditional work hard, keep your head down, do the best you can, sacrifice, and advance. That's just a reality. That's just the reality of what I see. So what brings us together? Does Colin Kaepernick bring us together? Now, Colin Kaepernick was a football player. I enjoyed watching him when he was a football player, when he was having a couple good seasons. And he was fun to watch because he was energetic. And I loved his family story. You know, when they told the story about he was adopted by a family and he got to the NFL. And he, you know, at the first couple seasons, he could actually play football really well. He was exciting. It was fun. I felt happy for America that that could happen for this young kid who had a tough background. Americans came forward, embraced him, brought them into his home, made him family, and gave him a great life that he had to do some things. He had to work in school. He had to do all that. And he succeeded. Now, that same Colin Kaepernick has decided to attack the nation that gave him a good life, a family that gave him a good life. So instead of building the country up, he's seeing the other point of view and saying, no, it's so bad that people cannot overcome some things in this country because the way the country is set up. Colin Kaepernick does not bring us together. You know, we were talking before about half the country wants to do one thing, the other half wants to do another. So we saw the NFL players kneeling. That offended lots and lots of Americans. Not because we didn't want to hear why they were kneeling. They had a grievance, and they thought that was a way to do it. But it offended because Americans didn't see it in the same perspective as the NFL players. They saw it as a complete attack on America and all the good we have done. See, that's a difference in the perspective. You can look at our history and go back and say there were bad things. Slavery was bad. It was. It was an abomination on humanity to have slavery. But the same country that Colin Kaepernick says is racist and horrible, and all these other people on the left that are demanding that we destroy everything about America because of a bad period in time hundreds of years ago, makes no sense because we're not those people today. That same country that started out with those things that were bad self-regulated itself and did away with them, right? That's the good of America. That's what they don't see, that perspective. That's my perspective. Yes, we can look back there and say, no, that was not good that we had slavery. Of course it wasn't good. But at the time, at that time in humanity, that was considered acceptable. It still goes on today. Slavery still goes on today, not in America, but in other countries, and we don't hear a word about it. Nobody talks about it, but it's there. Right? It's an abomination on humanity for slavery to exist anywhere in the world. As one voice, why can't we be an example to those places and all of us come together and say, yes, it was bad, but we overcame it. Why? Because we have a constitution. We have decent people who saw that was wrong. We have to change it. And we continue to move forward and evolve and change things that are not good and push up the good things. Right? That is what coming together means. Colin Kaepernick is not helping us. He's hurting us. These politicians, Joe Biden comes out the other day and he throws a tweet out there and he says, when I'm elected president, I'm not just going to change America, I'm going to totally transform it. Totally transform it into what? What is he going to totally transform it into? Who's he speaking to there? He's speaking to half the country who now has decided that everything about America has to change, and this is their moment in time because everyone's listening, everyone's paying attention. But that doesn't mean we're ready to change and totally transform our country. Into what, Joe Biden? A mecca for freedom and liberty and justice? Or the fairness and justice of a socialist type of a situation going forward? Is that what you're going to totally transform us into? I want no part of that. I know that it is bad. It will be even worse for the people who think they're having problems now in a system that can be changed, that can self-regulate, that does have decent people who want to make things better. When you get to a socialist form of government, that option is out. It will be worse for everyone. It will not be better. But it's played up that it's what's a great alternative to this evil of what America was, and it still exists today. No, it doesn't. Of course, you know, you always have to have the caveat. How exhausting does this get? Every time you say something like that, you have to, but I know there are still instances of racism. There are still instances of inappropriate. There's still instances of people. We all get that. That's always going to be with us because that's humanity. They're always going to be bad people, right? We're not always going to have all good people. That's just not how it works. You know why? Because there is a devil, right? There is evil in the world. There is a God and there is a devil. And the devil's always trying to do his thing. So there's always going to be evil people with us. But does that mean we are evil in itself? No. The sins of our past have to be recognized and we move forward and change them. That is what brings people together. Everyone having a voice saying, yes, it was bad, but it's better now. And how do we get better going forward? That is what would bring people together. Joe Biden is not bringing people together because he's going to totally transform it. What about half the country that does not want to be totally transformed into something else? How does that bring people together? And that's my question here today. How does that bring people together to ignore half the population? So, okay, all right, I hear you out there. Somebody's going, well, what about you guys? You want to ignore the other half that wants abortion and doesn't want a wall. You want to ignore all that. Time out. So how do we come together on an argument like that? Right? Not the abortion argument itself. We can have that argument because we always do. People always talk about that. But the reality is people on one part see abortion as a legitimate thing that they want in their life. And the other half sees the baby and says it's wrong to kill a baby. And therefore, we should protect that baby. So how do those two sides come together? Well, I think our society has pretty much initially come up with the, okay, if it's health related to the mother's health or something, of course, that's a procedure that has to be done to save that person, that mother. So we kind of accept that, okay? Even many religious people say, hey, if the mother's life is in danger and you have to, you know, take the baby to save the mother, that's what has to happen. But to do it for any other reason than that is unreasonable. So you could say if it's the health of the mother, then okay, then that's what has to be done because we're protecting that life of the mother. But to say it's inconvenient, I don't want to raise a kid, I didn't want to be pregnant, this is not what I want, I don't like that guy that got me pregnant. Those are all choices that you made that now affect a baby. So coming together means, okay, if there's a reason that it has to be done, that's legitimate, we stand around that. But to say up to the moment of birth, you can kill that baby, what does that say about us as human beings? Right? And I don't want to get into that argument, but I'm saying, you see the stark difference of one side versus the other? The other side does not even see the baby. The other side simply sees the mother's right to do it. And I get it. People have rights. She can do what she wants with her body, but there's another body involved. So for us to come together, we have to acknowledge that reality. There's two people in play there. And how do we protect both of them? And help them to get what they both need, right? So that's how people come together. I'm gonna make a few notes here. I'm gonna think about this a little bit. I hope you're thinking about it too. There's a lot for us to cover, and we have more to come. We'll be back in a minute with Chasing Justice.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends. Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. And during that break, I had a nice iced tea. I relaxed. I calmed down a little bit because I'm passionate about these things, as we all are. You know, I want to come together for solutions. I don't want anybody in our American family feeling that the country is not there for them. You know, I also recognize that they do have those feelings. Whether they're legitimate or not, we have to have that. That's the conversation we have to have. If it's real, if you can't get that house, you can't participate in that American dream, how can we change that? Well, The hard part for lots of people is that we could probably come up with a way that we can do that, but it means people have to make certain kinds of choices in their life. They have to deal with things in certain ways in order to obtain the things that they want. And that conversation is one we cannot have, because who are you to tell anybody what they should do is the immediate thing that you would hear. So instead, we should have something, you know, and should's a bad word. Should's a bad, should it connotates a have to, you know. It would be great if we had, I don't know, the Department of Truth or something that would come out and say, hey, listen, we can all think what we want about how to obtain the American dream, but here's what it really takes. You have to go to school, right? We have free education. So go to school and learn. Go there to learn, right? Go there to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic. Go there to learn. Then we have to have a way for people to continue that education. So when you go to high school, enjoy all the things that high school has to do. Continue to learn. Learning is important. We have to praise education as the way out. Now, for the most part, I think we do. But is that getting through to everybody? Does everybody sing that same song? Education is the key. Stay in school. Do the right thing. Do we explain what sacrifice means? So that everybody understands it from a young age? My kids, I'm very grateful, have understood sacrifice because I've told them my story. Not only have I told you guys my story, I've told my kids that story repeatedly with little segments of it here and there to try and teach a lesson. And my son Joe, who's an attorney, the attorney of record here at Chasing Justice, Joe came with me when I had a landscaping company, and he would cut grass and he would learn how to handle customers and customer complaints and how to do a good job. People were paying you, so there you owed them something, like to do a good job, make sure it was good. And as Joe gets older now, he says, it was really very touching. He's, you know, my dad took me with him for rides in his truck, and I learned a lot about life and being a man in that truck, which, that's really the truth. Is everyone telling that? That's one of the things that might be missing, right? Do we have someone to mentor people? But the bigger problem is that we can't even agree on what's a good thing. That's the danger of where we are right now. We're not even agreeing that the American dream is the thing to have. No, the American dream is horrible because of where it came from, what it means, we're going to get rid of it. This is the argument that has to be settled first. And how are we going to settle that? How do we settle we're no longer talking about two different political parties. We're no longer talking about what programs we can do to help people. We're talking about destroying the entire country and coming up with something else, which leads me to a thought. See how that works? Everything leads me to a thought. The slippery slope. The slippery slope is something that's been brought up quite a lot. So when somebody comes up with an idea that's new or different and changes things and says, hey, we should do this now. Well, a lot of people jump up and they see the slippery slope and say, yeah, hang on a second. Sure. Maybe we should, lower the standards for passing high school a little bit. Maybe we should make it a little bit easier for kids that have a really hard time. If we don't have the right programs for them, we should make the grade system a little bit lower. And you say, okay, hang on a second. What is the long-term effect of that? What is the slippery slope? Well, once you diminish your standards to any degree, why can't you diminish them again? See, because the truth about things and people is that once something has happened, it is more likely that it'll happen again. If something has never happened, it's more likely that it won't happen. So when you start to diminish, and I'm using grades just as an example that we can all identify with, if you diminish the grades, right, an A used to be what, a 95? If you got a 95 on a test, you got an A. You got a 96, 97, you got an A plus or extra credit. When you say, okay, a 90 is now an A, and you upgrade all the rest of the grades, so it's easier to get. How could we can't come back next time and go, you know, most of the kids didn't get A's. Most of them got B's. So let's lower an A now to be not just 4 or 5 points. Let's make it 87 is now an A, because then more people get it. Well, you're down that slippery slope. The whole idea of, and I don't want to bring it up again, the abortion thing, but when we said abortion If the mother needs it to save her life, we go with that. And where has that slippery slope taken us today? It went from first trimester abortions to second to third to delivering the baby and then killing it. Do you see that slippery slope? When we lower our standards, instead of raising our people to those standards, as hard as that might be, that is always the better way to go than lowering your standards, because you go from a necessity to a convenience and lives are lost in the middle. We can look at that in any other way. You know, tolerance. Remember that word tolerance started to become real? But you got to be tolerant of different people and their different lifestyles and their different ideas. And a lot of people recoiled from it. No, we can't. And then over time, we started to think about it and say, you know what? Does it matter who loves who? No, in reality, it doesn't. Does it make some people uncomfortable, the life choices some people make? Sure it does. Well, then don't pay attention to their lifestyle. Leave them alone. I think we've come to that point of evolvement that, you know what? Who somebody loves is their business, nobody else's business. So the idea of tolerance was a good idea. Let's be tolerant and think that we have no, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't draw me into things I don't want to do. But some people should be left alone. Leave them to their life. If that's what makes them happy, be happy for them, right? More happiness is better than less happiness. So that was another thing. We saw tolerance. But is that what people saw was the slippery slope down to we're having conversations now about our sexual lifestyles. And I'm not talking about a gay lifestyle. I don't mean that in general. But the way humans interact sexually becomes something that now they're talking about pedophiles, and there are professors that teach this. I've seen online things where there's conversations about this. Pedophiles are really a proclivity that's natural to humanity, and we should probably understand these people and their desires and why they have them and not treat them like they are. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Because we did not have the right conversation to start. We end up going down this slippery slope where people are saying that pedophilia is just another thing that people do and we should be accepting of it. It's totally different to be tolerant of somebody's lifestyle choices because it's their lifestyle. Let them have their lifestyle. People should deserve to be happy. To go down and say, yeah, but then this, pedophilia, we got to understand that too. No, it's not the same. There's no connection between the two. Two totally different things, but people conflate it together because it starts to go down a slope because we didn't have the right conversations, okay? So again, does this bring us together? Does this bring us together? Donald Trump, which I guess is probably the biggest example of when we started to really come apart here. In 2016, when Donald Trump was elected, do you remember how families started arguing and fighting? Like things that never came up before between families came up, and all of a sudden, people weren't talking to each other. I had that happen in my family. There's people I've been close with my whole life. We don't speak because you're a Trump person. Trump is an animal. Trump is a this. Trump is a that. Trump's this. Well, where's the examples of that? He said you grab a woman by the... No, that's not what he said. He was doing stupid man talk with a dopey guy saying that, hey, you know, these women will let you do things and you could even grab them here, there, and the other thing. It was a stupid conversation. He shouldn't have had it. He didn't say he did it. So you've never had a stupid conversation, right? Between guys, you've never said something stupid? Well, that's different. This guy's the president. Okay. Well, you had a president in the Oval Office that was having an affair with a young intern, and everybody seems to think he's a superhero, great guy. He might have been going to Pedophile Island with Jeffrey Epstein, but we're not going to really look at that because that kind of damages the... See what I mean? See how it all conflates? We can't have the conversation. And Donald Trump was that moment in time when we lost respect for each other completely. It was the bridge to the people who see the world totally different. This is their chance because the day he was inaugurated, there were thousands of people fighting with him. The media contradicts everything he says. Everything he says is wrong. And it's fodder for those people who want to split the country. And it has allowed this schism to develop because you see it's on a slippery slope. When it's one thing to disagree with the president, it's another to call him a name. It's another to have protests every single day. It's another to have the media go after you and lie about you. It's another to have federal agencies concoct an entire coup d'etat because they don't believe that you should be president and attack our Constitution the way it happened. This is a slippery slope to the point we have today with the riots in the streets are not about people protesting. They have a legitimate concern that we should all hear. The rioting and the Antifa and the socialist Marxist movement that is out there now is taking advantage of this moment. And it's being conflated as it's all part of the protest. We're going to change things now for the better. And they are not trying to take us to a better place. They are trying to take us to a place we do not want to go because of the slippery slope. It starts with calling the president names because you don't like them, to the point that people now are ripping down statues, changing names. They want to undo the entire country and start over again. Do you see that slippery slope? So while it's okay to open conversations and change the way we think and do things, we have to be very smart about it and understand, where could this lead? Where do we want guidelines? Where do we want boundaries? So that we don't overstep ourselves, so we don't put ourselves in a position where it's going to go someplace none of us want it to. What do we do now? Right? Is all of this going to go away when the cold weather comes and people don't want to go out in the streets in the freezing cold rain and the snow? I don't know if that happens. I don't know that this one gets put away. I think this slippery slope has led us to a place that is going to be difficult to get out of. So the upcoming election is going to be one of a couple of things. And I wanted to just talk about that for a minute or so. But you know me, it's probably not a minute. It's probably longer than a minute. You know, the re-election of Donald Trump. Right now we see the polls are totally in favor of Joe Biden. Joe Biden appears to clearly have some kind of cognitive issues. He probably is not going to be able to actually run the government. Someone else will be running the government, which isn't that like a behind-the-scenes puppet master kind of a thing? Is that really what we want? Because we don't like how Donald Trump talks, so we're going to have a puppet master doing whatever behind the scenes? Means you have no control over your government, American citizens? Hello? This will be some other cabal going on? But Joe Biden has serious problems. If Donald Trump is reelected, the people who are already out of their minds with hatred, you know, the tolerant people, they're completely out of their mind with hatred. The most intellectual among us are out of their minds with just anxiety and inability to converse, and they're spitting mad in the streets, and they're saying things that are absolutely horrible. The actual antithesis of everything they say that they believe in. We can all see that. So if Donald Trump is reelected, they're going to lose their minds completely. Now, does that bring us together or does that take us apart? Now, I've used the example in the past of Barack Obama. I don't know Barack Obama. I don't know him at all. I saw him as a president. I disagreed with his policies. Did I think it was pretty cool for our country that an African-American was elected president? I did. I admit it. I thought it was pretty cool. Was that the best for our country, though? Not that he was African-American. That didn't make a difference. His policies came along with him being African-American and that being very cool. I thought it was great because it showed our country could do that. Maybe we're beyond some of these things we were having troubles with. We just elected an African-American guy as president. I respected him as president. I did not like his policies. I didn't think his policies helped our country. But I did think it was a great thing for America that he was elected. Now that's a choice, you know, that's one of those things in life. You make a choice. You know, do you pull that lever because it would be really cool that guy was elected and he's African American, even if he's going to destroy the country with his policies? So we're kind of back at that again. What are we doing here? Is there a silent majority of people who right now, you know, you can't put a Trump bumper sticker on your car, they'll smash your windows, they'll cut your tires. You can't put a flag in front of your house, they'll rip it down, they'll burn it, they'll throw paint bombs at your house. This is not people on the right. Trump people are not doing that to people on the left. These are the people on the left who are now energized, right? By all of this negative rhetoric, this tear down America, this rip it all up. This is their moment. They're having their moment. And you have all these young people out there who are, I hate to say blinded by it, but they run on emotion. They're not thinking it through. They're trying to be what they think is just, and they're going to bring justice, and socialism is going to bring fairness to everyone. It's going to be so great because they don't have perspective on life. They don't understand the slippery slope that comes with voting in that kind of a government, of a socialist type of government. The slippery slope there leads to poverty and death. We know it. We see it wherever it happens. Right? But these young people are seeing just the other side. This is when I started out, I told you got to understand other people's perspectives. Their perspective is that it's going to be so much better because it's going to be fair and everyone's going to be forced. That's another word we hear a lot from our friends on the left. You don't want to do something this way, we're going to force you to do it. We're going to make a law. It's going to be a mandatory. That's a foreshadowing of what comes with a socialist type of a government. These young people don't see it because they're idealistic. Right? So do any of these things bring us together, these arguments? I tried to make a case today for a little bit of thought-provoking type of things. You know, a lot of the changes we've made in our country were difficult to make. But we did grow. We did get enlightened. We did see things differently. And it is a good thing. Even if not everyone agrees. Sometimes it's just enough people agree that it becomes accepted. And I think if that's the best we can get for right now, that would be good. But this fighting in the street, this destruction call for America and the rebuilding and the starting over, it's not going to be good if it gets torn down and brought back together, because it's not going to be come back together as a constitutional republic. It's going to come back as a socialist / tyrannical government, because that is what? That's what's at the end of the slippery slope. See, so I'm trying to tie all my thoughts together here because I know I rambled on today a lot. I hope you could keep up with me. You know, sometimes I go really fast. But, you know, like everything else, if you're listening to talk radio, then you're kind of a person that's pretty smart, I'm sure. That's where I started out, listening to talk radio, hear other people's opinions. So once again, I want to thank you all for being out there. Let's all think about this. We are all one country. We are all one nation. We are all one people, right? That's how God made us. Right? We should look at each other with love and real tolerance and talk out our differences. Figure out where we need to go and then try and get there together. Anything else that happens is going to require other choices, and we'll get to those on the next episode of Chasing Justice. So thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next time. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, for Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network.